Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. This moment, you're joining with poets from around the globe into a community, to a family that celebrates the written word and spoken word artistry. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the last episode of November 2017, and with it, 4 years on the air. It's kind of crazy to think about. In fact, even though we're celebrating our anniversary next week, this is technically closer.
Yes.
Technically closer to 5 years.
Yes.
So right around this time, 5 years ago, there was a lot going on. We were just getting ready to start the show with ourselves, with J. Todd Underhill as well.
Mm-hmm.
J. Todd's father passed away today, wasn't it? 5 years ago?
I think so. It was the day right after Thanksgiving.
It was the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
He spent it with family, and then he went home.
Yep.
And but you know, it was an incredibly emotionally tumultuous time, but it was also something that kind of gave some traction to what we were doing. We were still trying to figure out how we were going to do the show. We were still figuring out everything. I think I was probably building the first iteration of the website as we speak 5 years ago.
Ooh.
Yeah, remember that?
Ooh.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of rough. Some would say it's still rough. we're working on that. We have big plans for this next year, but one thing I want to ask everyone to do who's listening, people who've been to the show before, I would like you to really consider, you know, calling some of the poets you know that have been on this show or people you think would really enjoy it. Let's all throw a huge party next week. We're going to be having fun. We're going to be doing some cool stuff. I promise I'm going to get totally fake drunk on the air, probably on Zima. And yeah, I know.
Man, that's some hard stuff.
There was that time that we drank, I drank.
You drank most of it.
Most of the wine. And this was about four some years ago.
Yeah, it was our...
And I promised myself I'd never do it again.
Yeah.
Was it our first year anniversary?
I think...
Oh my gosh, no, it was before that. It was like September
We were doing something for...
Lou Reed or something like that.
Yeah, gosh. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. So at any rate, I don't drink on the air actually anymore. But I'm gonna drink some Zima, and I'm not gonna drink Zima.
No,
what am I talking about? Why would I drink Zima?
Here, anyway, have some of my sparkling water.
Oh yeah,
instead.
I'm gonna drink some coffee that took me a full 18 minutes to get.
That was crazy.
Anyway, so it's been a great week here. I hope everybody here in the U.S. has had a great Thanksgiving. Titus, if you're listening in the UK, I know we were thankful for leaving England, but we were thankful for you as well. And at any rate, it's known as Black Friday all around the world, otherwise known as the day where Michael stays in and laughs at everybody else who's running into each other being ridiculous.
I went out on Black Friday.
Did you? How'd
yep.
it go? I hate Black Friday.
I do too. And especially this year, I hate it worse than previous because it wasn't even on Friday.
Yeah.
It's Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday night. I'm going, that's not Friday.
Did you go out last night?
Yeah, we went out. We went over to Michael's, got a few things, came home. Store was pretty much empty. Went to another store. We actually went to Walmart last night. We thought it was going to be insane. It felt like a normal day. Busy. Just kind of flow.
Weird.
Today, not that bad at all. It was just like another busy, just a normal holiday. You know, busy at the mall. Yeah.
Well, I went out, weird. Had a great dinner with family Tuesday night. Then had a good dinner with at home with you know, parents and everything last night. And then today had another thing with my brother and his wife and my niece. My nephew wasn't there, but we missed him. But other than that, it's been a great 3 days. I cooked yesterday, JT. I actually was arm deep in a turkey.
Big turkey.
Yeah, I know. And it was a cold turkey. And I got to be honest with you, my hand got stuck.
You're supposed to let go of whatever you're
holding. That's the problem. That was
you never keep the
eventually that you was gotta, no you got to understand my hands
yes,
they're meat
are.
Mitts and a meat yes. mitt does not fit inside a turkey orifice.
Very true.
So I ended up just eventually torquing back with such force that the turkey and my arm became separated.
That's good.
My dog was quite amused by the whole situation.
I'm sure he was.
But, you know, the turkey turned out well.
You did remember to empty out the bag that was inside.
Oh, obviously. Okay. Yes, of course. I remember. I've cooked turkeys before. Just never had an issue like this. It was quite good, though.
Good.
It was quite good.
Good.
I don't particularly like cooking turkey. It's just, you know, just a thing.
I understand.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, we're here for poetry. We're really excited to get on the way and have you know, everybody able to share. I started a new. I'm just going to throw this out. JT and I were talking about new ways to help promote the show. If you can help promote it with anybody, we would really appreciate that. Let them know what you think of the show, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whatever. Your honest opinion is all we ask for. But I started another short form podcast, kind of tying back into this one. It's called The Michael Amade Show because I couldn't think of another day when I was being uncreative. But you can find that on iTunes. You can find it on Google Play or on a app called Anchor. You can find it as well. But I'm doing an episode, I think it's going to be 7 days a week, at least for a while.
All right.
I might, as we talked about, JT, if I can get there, I might double down to two a day.
Whoa.
But the problem is I have to record them at like that time, like right when I'm going to put them out. So,
yeah.
So anyway, we'll see how it goes. At any rate, let's do this. We're going to get ready to go into the first segment here. We're going to do several segments, five unique callers, and we're going to do a thing called a return engagement. So here are the two ground rules. Number one, no hate speech. We don't have it on the show. It's been the rule since day one. Rule number two, we are very artistically inclined here. We're not into censorship. However, we do try to keep things skewed PG-13 so families can call in or listen in and feel confident they're going to be learning about poetry and not have to censor too much. So if it's an artistic piece, kind of in the vein of Howl or something, we'll probably let it go. If it starts getting too graphic, too over the top, we might suggest you wait until we're doing an after dark segment, which happens every now and then, and is more for the adult themed stuff. All right. That being said, we're ready to do this. Let's go into our first segment, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
All right. Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do this. Five unique callers. Segment one. Let's go.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. And we're back. Segment number one. We've got five great poets lined up. We also have more than five call in. And, of course, you know, JT being the kind of guy he is, he picked up usually and let them know unless he was, you know, embroiled in another call and he couldn't get to it. So we can only answer the call one call at a time. And the way it's kind of funny to think back when we first started doing the show. Do you remember the first few episodes? So we had family members calling in.
Yeah.
Our friends and stuff like that, because we didn't think we were going to have enough callers. And then after a while, it started developing. But it got to a point where once we had taken this show indie and we didn't have to abide by the station rules of the time frame, we were doing these segments that were like 9, 10 poets deep that were take or long roughly, or more. Yeah. Didn't we get to like 15 or
at
something?
At one point, yeah.
And everybody just sat on hold.
Yep.
And then we were like, each segment was like an hour or something like that, and there was yeah. nothing to break it up. And I remember at one point you coming and saying, you know, we did the math. It was literally, we did math. And we figured out that we should do these segments of five. And we're like, nah, that's crazy. That's well worked. No, it totally worked. So we have all these little things that it took us a while to learn. There were things we never even knew were going to matter. For instance, like the show calendar.
Of all things.
Of all things. Crazy, right? But it took us that many years to figure out it was important. So we learned slow. Sorry, guys. Sometimes we're dumb like apes, but we're teachable. So... let's go first to our first caller. He's been a caller with us since, I think it was it week two? Week two. So it's been a long time here. He's one of our greatest contributors. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Dennis, how are you?
I am wonderful and having a great Thanksgiving weekend. I hope you've had some wonderful Thanksgiving weekend as well.
Oh, definitely we have, and I'm so happy to hear that it was great for you. I'm so full. I don't think I'm going to eat again till Christmas.
I hear that. We have so much to be thankful for, and the good food is included.
Well, I think you know, it's funny. It becomes the eating holiday, but in reality, you know, the gratitude really is there. I think that's the thing that matters 100%. And this show and all the people who call in are definitely something that I named very specifically when I was thinking about all the things I was grateful for.
Yes, the gratitude comes first, and then everything else is just bonus.
That's it. That's absolutely it. So what do you have for us?
Well, since I didn't have any Bono poems last week, I figured I'd correct that since he is the poet of the month.
All right.
Okay. And I would like to jump in there with some Bono stuff tonight. Right. And I don't know if these have been read yet or not, but if they haven't, they'll be interpreted by me.
Sounds good. Perfect.
We all have something to say and something to share, and we all have different ways that we present it. So no two poems, even if they're the same, are going to sound alike.
Very true.
So if these have been read, I apologize, but I'll make sure my own I've thrown myself into it also, so you get a part of me in my reading of cover poems.
Perfect.
All right. Well, I'm going to start off with a poem, If God Will Send His Angels.
Good song.
And this is lyrics by Bono. Nobody else here, baby. No one here to blame. No one to point the finger. It's just you and me in the rain. Nobody made you do it. No one put words in your mouth. No one here is taking orders. When love took a train heading south. It's the blind leading the blonde. It's the stuff of country songs. If God will send his angels, and if God will send a sign, and if God will send his angels, would everything be all right? God's got his phone off the hook, babe. Would he even pick up if he could? It's been a while since he saw that child hanging around his neighborhood. See his mother dealing in the doorway. See Father Christmas with a begging bowl. Jesus's sister's eyes are a blister. The high street never looked so low. It's the blind leading the blonde. It's the cops collecting for the cons. So where is the hope? And where is the faith and the love? What's that you say to me? Does love light up your Christmas tree? The next time you're blowing a fuse and the Cartoon Network turns into the news. If God will send his angels, and if God will send a sign, well, if God will send his angels, where do we go? Where do we go? Jesus never let me down. You know, Jesus used to show me the score. Then they put Jesus in show business. Now it's hard to get in the door, Angel. It's the stuff of country songs. But I guess it's something to go on. If God will send his angels, sure could use them here right now. Well, if God will send his angels, and I want my life, where do we go? I want to feel my soul. Where do we go? And I want to know love. Where do we go? And I want to feel. End of poem.
Such a lovely song. It was written just like, it's like a country song, but it was done in just such a strange thing. The words Cartoon Network throwing in there, and you know, all of that just makes it a very, very strange mix. Good choice and great read, Dennis.
Very, very interesting mix of words and ideas and imagery. Yes, I like that myself. It caught my eye, and I says, yeah, I'm going to have to read that one.
All right. Well, we're glad you did. We're glad you did. I mean, that's one that I definitely have a history with and kind of a relationship with, that song as well. So
I don't know if you recognized it the way I interpreted it, but there it is.
I definitely did. I definitely did. Loved it. Loved it. Thank you, Dennis.
All right. And then thank you for giving us a poet of the month and opening our eyes to poets that may have otherwise been overlooked. And they need to be read and they need to be appreciated, just like all good poets. And thank you for that. And I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. Thanks so much. Now, if Dennis thinks that poet of the month is interesting, wait until he finds out who the poet of the month is for December.
Oh, you've already picked it?
Oh, yeah.
Good deal.
So, all right, cool. So we started with Dennis. That's a strong opening. It's usually our opening. Let's go to another just fantastic poet. I always love hearing her read. But also a massive U2 fan, which we didn't know until last week.
So great.
This is such a reason we could have bonded on this. Cynthia in Vancouver. Cynthia, how are you?
I'm good. What didn't you know till last week?
We didn't know you were a U2 fanatic. JT and I both are. Christine can't stand them.
Yeah. At all. Yeah.
But we're just.
Oh, yeah. No, U2 was my life for years.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Yep. You know, it's funny. They came through during their 360 tour. And Christine bit the bullet and took JT.
Yeah.
And this is before we were doing the show. And JT was sending me text messages from up in the stands, and I was down, like, right along the catwalk there. And I think next time they come through town, he and I are definitely going to go.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, be good stuff. Anyway, how was this last week? I know you guys don't have Thanksgiving in Canada, but I'm sure you find reasons to be thankful. Huh?
It's not on the same day.
We did it early. We get it done before it starts to snow and freeze.
Oh, see, that's smart. So
we did it in October.
Oh,
but
okay.
Lots to be thankful for.
Good.
Very good.
It was wonderful hearing Dennis read U2.
I know. Yeah. Wasn't that something? And it was a good choice for him, too. That might have been one of the songs I would have thought he would have done a great job with had I been given the task.
So for this segment, I'm going to do one of mine, and on the next part, I'll do a U2 song.
Okay.
So this is one of mine that just got an honorable mention, which was really fun. I had to go really far through the rain to the ceremony, and then I got there, and I got to get up to read twice. So this is called Sirens and Wind. Sirens and wind in the night, the energy of a storm on the way, too hot and too cold all at once. Telephone line crosses plastered in white, faith abandoned in a desert of snow. I seek new meaning, write prayers on peace cranes, and float them in the river. A silent procession punctuating the surface, like the salt of my tears on the sheet in the field of morning ritual. End poem.
Very, very nice. Wow. I love that one, Cynthia. I really like that one.
Thank you.
All right. And I'm looking forward to seeing what your next read's going to be as well. Don't tell us what it is until it's time, okay?
Okay.
All right. Sounds great.
Talk to you later.
Thank you so much. Bye. Talk to you later. Thanks, Cynthia. And that was Cynthia Kahn from Vancouver, British Columbia, our neighbors to the north, which, you know, you hear the north wind, you know, like it's the terror thing, like the north wind comes, right? I got to say, I feel like we're the southern wind. I feel like Canada's pretty cool. I was hearing something about the biggest heist in Canadian history. And maybe Cynthia knows this. Maybe she doesn't. I mean, we could just look it up. But she doesn't have to comment about it. But the biggest heist in Canadian history, which I'm sure all Canadians know, right?
Of course. They have to know their own history.
Legit.
Right?
This isn't a joke. Oh, yeah. Was a massive heist of maple syrup.
Yes.
Wasn't it? Like,
yes.
It was hundreds of...
It's just... Yeah, because
hundreds of gallons of it. And it's like 50 gallons of actual sap to make a gallon of maple syrup.
I saw that process.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so cool.
It's so cool. But at any rate, I think that's really interesting. Yeah. I would love to live in a country where that's the worst stuff that happens instead of us being all bat blank crazy.
Yep.
All right. Let's go to... Now we're going to head to the UK. Let's go to Titus in the UK.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Titus. How are you?
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Lovely poetry. Beautiful.
It's been very nice so far, hasn't it?
How one follows that, we do not know.
that's always the challenge on this show, isn't it?
Yes. I was just thinking, I'm going to read in a minute, but one word actually... created this poem. It's called Velikor. I don't know if you've heard of that word, Velikor.
Velikor.
But it means the strange, it means the strange wistfulness of used bookstores which have somehow infused with the passing of time. If you go into an old bookstore, I don't mean a charity shop, but one really, you know, there's, I'm actually thinking of the way we find friends. We kind of like, see one on the shelf which we either like. We don't go into some, I know we come into a library for a certain book, but sometimes you just browse around and there's one that just you seem to take to, and you pick it up and you hire it for the week or something. You know, this is what I'm getting to with this poem. It was this one word actually which ended up me creating this poem. So of course there's a picture with old books on the shelf upright, some leaning over, some fallen out. So, of course, I think with people, when we find friends, we see some with they tear the pages out. They don't want anyone to know about them, but they're still friends. They sometimes hide a little bit of their life, but all in all, they're quite open with us to want to be friends with us. So this poem that I'm about to read is titled Like Books, The People We Take To. Around us are many individuals, like the Velika state we find books, a tumult of worthy subjects by looks, the hereth salt finding, it accruals lost for longing. There are ingle nooks which are found, and the crown jewels lying amongst many distinctive covers, like its people, they're seen impressing. The first page is like a good morning welcome. Without a reply, it discovers very few words. It is their love for dawning. Titles, so very much like fondly glances, for if preference walked among crowds, silence offers us slight gaze at the clouds. Our assessment is one which then gauges this illusionary welcome as we, as shrouds, do on purpose hide fully torn out pages. One to another thus, a difficult chapter begins to create as well. We hail to others, a page mark say for hesitancy's sake, to explain the cause of this your rapture. A book we like the look of is one we take. And that's it. I do like the idea of the, I don't like doing it myself, but some people turn the corner of the page where they've they're ready to start off their next read. I do believe that some people turn the pages for you to show them, you know, in other words, they don't mind some of the things in their life to show their closest friends.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. I thought that was a lovely idea and very well executed and well read. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, my book.
And thank you, our book. we are very thankful for you as well. And it's, you know, the whole Thanksgiving thing we do here is not about a one-day thing. It's an everyday thing, and you're always thought of that way. So
well, that's my gift of a book to you. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. And that was Titus Cullen from the UK with a lovely, lovely piece. We can count on him for that, can't we?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right.
Man, I didn't know what I was doing there.
It's all right. Sorry. Good beginning. All right. So there once was a poet from Nantucket. Her name was Lucretia, and she's number four in this segment. Did you like that, JT?
That was
you thought I was going to go that way, right?
I was kind of worried.
You thought so.
But hey, it was good.
Hey, Lucretia, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I did.
Good
how
to
about
hear.
You?
I did as well. I feel like starting this minute, I need to start doing massive amounts of cardio First of all, I think I feel the need to apologize to turkeys, both young and old, for the process of cooking a turkey. Just not. And then second of all, I just feel like I need to get this gravy from coursing through my veins. But it's been good.
I avoided the gravy.
See, I'm a vegetarian, so I don't have to apologize to turkey.
See, you don't have to apologize, but maybe broccoli, because it screams when we rip it out of the ground, right?
That is true. Yeah. That is true.
All right. I'm just needling it. I'm just needling
the
issue.
Are.
All right.
I know. You know.
Hey,
we did have a turkey at our Thanksgiving dinner because I'm not the only person in the family. So you know.
See, and that's the difference. Okay. See, that's awesome. I totally get that. And my grandfather was a all American football player. Played for DU. Played for the Detroit Lions before going to World War II, and everything.
Oh, wow.
He was vegetarian. He wouldn't touch.
Oh, cool.
He wouldn't touch meat at all in an age when that was really rare. And
yeah.
So that's
interesting too, because my older son played football in high school, and he was a vegetarian when he started playing football, and then he wanted to bulk up. He was 6 foot tall and maybe weighed 155 pounds soaking wet, and so he started eating meat. And did put on some weight, but he'll never be. He's an
ectomorph. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It just wasn't gonna. But he had a good time playing football though.
Good.
Well, good. That's good to hear. You know, it's just funny how the different things work, isn't it? Okay. So now that we've gotten that discussion out of the way, what do you have for us?
Okay. Well, in honor of my older son being home from college this week, I am reading a poem called Beginnings.
All right.
Okay, here goes. Beginnings. Sometimes when the stars are burning out Morse code of dreams and nightmares, I lie down beside you in your toddler bed, burrow between the walls. Under the quilt sewn 4 years ago while I waited. I study your face, the simple nose, cheeks plump and ruddy from playground adventures. Marvel at your forehead, smooth as the harbor on a windless August morning, free from lines I know will come someday. I snuggle closer, wrap my arms around your softness, breathe in your scent of rainy day puddles and freshly mown grass, and linger. Emerson mused, the eyes indicate the antiquity of the soul, and I secretly wish you would return now from the land of Nod. Open your innocent eyes, blue as the eggs cradled in the robin's nest outside your window, the crook of the dogwood tree holding it safe, so that I may see the remnants of the dusty paths you have wandered and dream of the promise of the journey ahead. End poem.
That's a very nice piece. It's a there was a real feeling of nurturing, but also a deep love and compassion in that.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. It reminded me, mostly you said the Land of Nod, but it also, it's funny, the tone before that reminded me of being read Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod. Is that the book?
Yeah, Winkin', Blinkin', Nod, yeah.
When I was very young, yeah, I remember being read that book as well. And for some reason, it reminded me of that. And then you said the Land of Nod. That's interesting. So really well done. I love that, Lucretia.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Of course.
And I will see you all at Repeat Engagement.
Sounds good. We will see you then. All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Lucretia calling from the Land of Nantucket. No, I'm not making that up. She actually is calling.
Yes.
From Nantucket.
The island.
As far as I'm concerned, as far as limericks go, it's the only island.
Wow.
It's hard to be like, there once was a man from Rhode Island. It's not, I'm sure we could come up with something.
Yeah.
But there once was a man from Nantucket. There once was a poet from Nantucket. There once was a woman from Nantucket. All of those things work very nicely, especially for what we all know the second line is going to end up being. No.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Mary in Arizona. That doesn't rhyme with anything.
Oh, already we're here?
Yes, we're already here. How are you?
Number five.
That's
number
it?
Number five and prime. Here I am.
Yeah, you're five and primed.
All right. I'm going to do a little poem for you tonight that I wrote, as well as a little composition by a kind of crappy piano keyboard that I made this afternoon in the background. So without further ado, let me line it all up here because I'm so technologically wise. Here we go. In consideration, and to my dear friend and sister in human form forever, Ellen, from northern Wisconsin, even nearer to the Canadian border than I. Though we didn't meet for 26 years, a hand in need is a hand indeed, and bless the reaching of hands in this world. Setting. From around the time in late summer, 2003, actually late July. Autumn came upon us quickly that year. I didn't stop loving him all at once. After I loved him as I did, almost unconditionally, in fact, it took a long time to wane from that. I wanted to work, see, and I saw enough in his personality and his gregarious nature with the world and thought he would apply it to me, his love. He did have a sparkle for me in his eye, for instances at a time, as well as appreciation for my soft-spoken spirit. But early on, it became inappropriate for me to show anger or disapproval around him, as if I was his mother of sorts. The sparkle dimmed in his eye as I saw my opinion and feelings mattered less and less around him, and each fight would bring him closer to cliffs we had not covered yet. As he passed his eyebrows and heaped disapproval at my humanness and my femaleness, I had to hide all my hard work and brains just to appease him somehow. Eventually, his pleasure in bringing me agony warped my blood, though I tried to be steadfast in my capacity to forgive him, even the blinders he encroached me with. He actually seemed to think he could tuck away our beautiful brains and all our rights to a meaningful life inside some little scarf. I came to know he could never know me because he did not have the capacity, like my brothers. It did not matter where you come from. You could still remain cultural, restricted by your past, blinded, if you will. Yet at this point, I continued to love him. But the resentment, isolation began building like fires around my soul, my little daughters wrapped around us. I was almost bleeding out from the pressure inside. I had no choice but to turn to a secondary, subsidiary, tertiary existence around them, their father. Just to preserve all of our femaleness at this point in time in the world and to help me remain coherent even on the fringes of my thoughts. As my body aged and warped in speed in front of me, I had to cling to what was important to me in the world. I attempted to embrace joy with them, my daughters, three, go on excursions, scavenger hunts, hear a song on a guitar, receive a bouquet of full clown-twisted balloons at some fair. Life was for learning and living in, and I was determined they would learn that. How I was elated when he left town again, or especially the country, because I knew he couldn't bother our emotions to the point of quivering. There's about half more to the poem, but that's for another time. And how Ellen came into it, that's going to have to come into it, too. I love you
Wow.
guys.
Wow.
No problem.
Wow, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
That was amazing, and thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Very powerful.
You know, isn't this a lovely venue? I bleed here, but don't think I'm crying. I'm happy to put it on air and put it in music. And oh, look it, this is my next. I'm on YouTube every day. Come on, shut up.
Hey, you know what, Mary?
Heels and cross.
Mary, I know. And we know that you come here and it's you let blood drip on the page or on the piano or whatever. And we're with you on that. And we're the same way.
All of us.
Yep.
All of us. So there we go. On to the next foot.
All
and
right.
And I'll see you at reaching.
Thank you, Mary.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. And that was Mary calling from Arizona. It was really powerful stuff.
Yeah, it was.
All right. So this is normally where I tease the poet of the month. Everybody already knows what the poet of the month is, right? Okay, fair enough. So we're just going to jump into the second segment. Now, I am going to be reading a submission at the beginning of the next segment here from Mr. Jim Rothline. However, we need five more unique callers, or as many as we can get, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call. All right. And we're back.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. JT was doing about six things at once, picking up a last-minute call. I think that was fantastic. Good job, man.
Hey, I try.
Now, I have an issue with this poetry, poetramia thing that you can attract those you desire. I've tried that, and it doesn't work. Turns out, walking down the street saying, "Roses are red, violets are blue, you're cute, we should go out," does not work.
No, I would not call that good poetry.
Why not?
Because you're not really serenading anybody.
Oh, why does that word keep coming up in my life? I'm walking around with the guitar, people are like, "Oh, you're serenading people?" I was walking around with an electric bass, JT. "Oh, you're serenading people?" Yeah.
Yeah. Tink, tink, tink.
Yeah.
That's great sound, isn't it?
That word follows me everywhere. It's really funny. Serenading. I also think serenading someone for the record randomly does not work either. I'm just going to throw that out there. All right. Hey, we've got five great callers lined up here for the second segment. First thing we're going to do is we're going to go back to Michigan, but this time it's going to be Lansing to visit with Chris. Hello, Chris.
Right, hey,
happy late Hi. Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You feel like you were living in a time warp sometimes with the delay between the broadcast and the actual phone call.
Yeah, remember, you were supposed to give a reading first, and I didn't remember hearing that.
Oh, that's right. You know what? I forgot to mention it. I actually had been waiting for it to be pulled up this entire time, and I finally just had it happen right after we got to your call. So I'm going to do it at the end. I'm going to do it at the end of the segment because it took so long to get there.
Okay. What's with this hypopoetremia? Is that just one word, or is that two, or is it hyphenated, or, you know, what's the scoop there?
Well, it's, you know, the nurse who came up with it is not in the room at the moment, but I think it's not hyphenated, but I could be wrong, so we are not medical professionals. However, the person who came up with the idea is, and she would know, I would think.
There you go. It's in the chat room how I have it spelled.
Oh, is that? Oh, really? Okay.
So you can interpret it how you wish.
All right.
Oh, poetry Amelia. Oh,
no. Great. Way to go, JT. Way to go.
Okay.
That looks legit.
Anyway.
All right.
You guys,
You guys are good at welcoming somebody back. I gotta tell you that.
Oh, well, good. We're happy you're back.
Yeah, we are, actually.
Now I should really come back. Well, anyway. Okay.
So what do you have for us?
I'm gonna have to call this one hypopoetremia.
All right.
That's the only name that'll fit. Questioning our now is a sign of becoming of age. Seems everyone accepted their status quo until they learned to change what their eyes and mind focused upon. We are human. We're flawed. We're complicated. We're real. We have hearts and we hurt. We care, and sometimes it just ain't enough. Ain't enough to change what is around us. But sometimes it is enough to know we tried. Two sides to a glass. As we see it, there's a holder, but there's a filler. Who notices the filler as we all watch holders? Who notices each holder share their bit of white noise till it's a whole world of silences shared, lived, cascading one upon another, leaving eyes that see and yet don't. See? Wishes that were and wishes that weren't. And neither can tell tomorrow from yesterday as today goes on and on, day by night, my breath. Roses by any other name. Anyway, guys, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
That was lovely. Happy Thanksgiving, Chris. Really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Anytime, guys. Bring the next person on. Let's get some words moving tonight.
All right. Let's do it. Appreciate you, Chris. Thank you.
Take care, man.
You too. And that was Chris calling from Lansing in Michigan. He always brings this, you know, introspective, precise. I think that's probably the word, introspective and precise poetry. He's very much akin to the style of Titus, but totally not Titus's style at the same time.
Oh, just so our next caller understands that we had to shuffle, so Mama, be ready, because you're next.
Okay.
Sorry,
Well,
she was third.
Okay.
And so everybody shifted.
Oh.
Because we had to shuffle one.
Oh, I see. So, I see.
That's
okay.
All.
Okay. That's understood. All. Understood. Okay, so Mama, you should be hearing this now. Get ready. We're gonna try to pop over. Ready? Here we go. Hey Mama, are you there?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right.
Wonderful.
Good. You got it. We wanted to give you some lead time there before we came over.
Yeah, thank you, because I was chilling, trying to figure out. That was Chris, not Dennis. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I was trying to talk in the chat room. Okay, got you. All right, I'm going to do one of the holiday poems that I like.
All right.
Called Jabberwocky in the building, y'all. Now, y'all know this is really not easy to do, but I'm going to do it.
All right.
And actually, I actually understand this poem. So I don't know if everybody does, but I actually understand this poem. They made up all new words. It's Lewis Carroll, and it's one of the most intriguing poems in the universe. And the story goes like this. 'Twas brillig. And the slithy toes did gyre and gimble in the wabi. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabby. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird, and shun the frumious Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the maximum foe he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock with eyes aflame came whistling through the tugly wood and burbled as it came. One, two, and through, the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with his head he went galumphing back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy. Oh, frabjous day, Kaloo Kalay, he chortled in his joy. 'Twas Brillig and the slithy toes did gyre and gimble in the wabi. Mimsy were the borogoves, and Momi ref out gobby. In peace, Jabberwocky, Lewis Carroll. Mm. My mama older date.
Isn't that is such a fantastic piece. I read that.
So enjoy that piece.
Just I think it was like 2 weeks ago I read that for kids in my school there. It was just, it is fantastic writing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And trying to say those words without, like, really, and then trying to, you know, make sure that you get the meaning of them is really, I love to read it for the kids.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite poems. And wow. I hope you put the right emphasis on the right words when you read it to the children so they could get the poem.
Oh, I did. I did my best to put the right emphasis on the right syllable.
You're going to have to read that for me one day.
All right. I will. I will sometime, actually. I will, for sure. You'll just have to remind me, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. And that was Mama Ola Day G calling from Cleveland, Ohio, laying it down. It's just a great piece.
Yeah.
You know, there's a company in town called Vorpal something.
Yep.
And I was like, Vorpal? What is Vorpal? And I look it up. It's a nonsensical word.
Yeah.
Which makes so much sense.
And it's weird because I heard Vorpal in Alice in Wonderland, and then later on in life, this is my dorkdom is showing, so careful.
Put your pants back on.
D&D.
Yeah.
Has a Vorpal sword.
Yes, the Vorpal saber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does a very specific thing. Mm-hmm. It lops off a head, mm-hmm. even when you're aiming at the body.
Mm.
It vorples you up to the
See,
neck.
I totally like that. I personally think the company that's using it is absolutely ridiculous, but, you know, that's just me. that's why I'm actually not
Sorry,
getting the full name.
I was like,
I'm not actually giving
really?
D&D. D&D is fantastically successful for what they do.
Yeah.
No, I'm not even giving the full name of the company.
Gotcha.
Because I don't even want people to know who they are. It's so asinine. But at any rate, I thought the fact that they used the term Vorpal in their name was kind of funny.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to somebody who, I don't know. I always just enjoy everything he brings to the table. Let's go to Stan in Alabama. Hey, happy late Thanksgiving, Stan.
Oh, man, it was great. And I hope you guys had a great one, too.
We did. We did. It sounds like JT had a great time. I was inundating myself with cooking and then eating myself into a coma.
Well, that works.
Yeah.
What about you? What'd you end up doing?
Oh, gaining about 5 pounds.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Every time I went through the kitchen.
All right. Yeah.
Man. Oh, that bird died well.
Yeah, yep.
Died for glory. Yeah, I understand.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, what do you have for us?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got a bit of an oldie.
All right.
But I don't think I've done this one for you guys. And this was one I put in with Outlaw Poetry when I first joined them.
Okay.
And I figure I'm going to do that one. It's called Works for Me.
Perfect.
Here we go. A 60s fossil in a new millennium, in search of a place I fit. Starry-eyed optimist, doomsday pessimist, neither really the gist. But I evolved and found my new millennium niche. a baby boomer realist, perpetually pitching a bitch. That's it.
Well, that made me laugh.
Well, I should hope it helps off.
Well, very, very nice. I appreciate it, Stan. And, you know, I spent, so I'm getting ready to, I've been doing design almost all day long on the anthology. And so I spent a good amount of time looking at your pieces today as well. And so it's great to be spending some time with your other work and then come on the show and hear you read something that just seems to fit so in line with it as well. So way to go. Great choice. Great write. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. On to the next.
All right. Sounds good. That was Stan calling from Alabama. Hopefully we'll be hearing from him again in the return engagement. I think we will. A little bird who has an intuition, who doesn't actually know anything. He's just intuiting things. It's kind of like a psychic little bird.
It's an interesting little bird.
That can speak English, which is even more remarkable.
Well, yeah, sort of.
It's not through telepathic. It's just talking to me. It just talks and talks and talks, doesn't stop.
Where is this bird?
On my shoulder.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Did I mention that someone might have slipped peyote into the stuffing today? I'm just trying to say I'm half in the spirit world. Hey, let's go to Sinister in Missouri. Speaking of the spirit world, how's it going, Sinister?
It's going all right. It's going all right.
All right,
thank
man.
Thank you for pushing me back. I had to get out of the house.
No problem.
Get myself together.
Fair enough. Well, hey, so we got you on the line. We're going to give you the floor, and we'll talk after, okay?
Sounds good.
All right.
This has probably been read before on here, but it's been a while, I know that. Life hacked. Spoon was by the crystal. A crowded pretense knows why. She dances wildly with fashion, failing to obtain twinkling eyes. Solemn are the instances now passing, weeping over burdens of lies. None reason the obvious and malice, trying to ascertain absolution in life. We often forget simple interaction, satisfied by selfishly picking scabs from the dire, nauseous vapors, infected senses, broken resolve, leaking out blind eyes. Are we really living in the nothing turning? Help me gain common ground. There will be no refuge in such weather, shelterless with footed mouth. Deviation falls once trust is questioned. Bore into relative conundrums, finding oneself soiled in trivial acceptance, sterile as it only births shame, haphazardly lounging in jaded, monotonous hollows, nourished by brilliant radioactive lows. Neon saviors reign in field corridors vast, illuminating theories on mind control, swiftly breaking the headstrong pioneers running wildly into bleak horizons of marred death. I will lullaby these schisms with huffs of paint. Streamline the embalming into the black. Four chambers choking on evolutionary lapse. High on quizzical fraternity hazing rights. Laying under a blood moon engrossed in the howls of Satan's lackeys amidst waxing moonbeams. Can you gain a ten of reason? 666 miles down, circles of lava fire engulfing the soul? And shifting through craters complacent or creeping carpets for another alibi that shines is a time when inertia notices age in every instance, cracked on wishes washed, and you set so much faith on alienated stars. See the mold infesting every crevice broken, sickly persuasive as decay, rampantly staking claim. Ultraviolet iridescence found in such sporadic reaction, which catapults obscenity into our regime, fondling time's curly locks. Such naive impurities found shaking, exasperated by my stoic vigor. I ran a short breath dead into a wall, cracking my failed pretenses. They've all become dry. And my words come out muffled or not at all, failing to express my devotion in your persistent warmth. Possess this very resonator of cold flow. You truly do encapsulate what little love I don't afford. Apologies shower the infinite in which I'll always lack abundance, but you can't forgive silence. Why not chance your bounty through another door, one which can gift you all that I criminally hoard? I, not but a remnant of life never brought to fruition, so broken. It's just a pulsating pile of chromosomes, hat, and peace.
Wow. That was a really, really powerful piece.
Yeah.
Thanks. I got a little motivation before I left the house to get into it.
Oh, all right.
Man. Well, you know, Sinister, we really appreciate you, man, and we appreciate everything you bring. And, you know, we know we were talking to Mary earlier about the idea that we all come here and, you know, we bleed on the page and we bleed when we read it. And I think you're an exemplary version of that. And we appreciate everything you bring to us.
I'm humbled. Thank you.
All right, man.
I'm humbled indeed. I probably won't catch a second engagement. So you guys have a good night, okay?
Hey, we'll you too, sir. Thank you. All right, and that was Sinister calling from Missouri. Powerful stuff. By the way, Jinx.
Yeah, I know.
That was weird.
That was really weird. I've used...
And it's funny when we're start. It's phrases we're not saying all that much. When we start saying things like, I'll have a grilled cheese sandwich, sir. Wait, are you saying the same things I'm saying? Yeah. That's crazy. Look at your shoes. Both of your shoes are untied. And we're saying all this together.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Anyway. I don't know where that came from.
It's all good.
Sinister stuff was really powerful, though.
It was.
All right, let's go to Diane in Florida, great friend of the show. We're so happy to have her every time. Hey, Diane, are you there?
I hear it.
Okay, I didn't think so. So, Diane, I think we just had that little Skype thing. We were doing so good tonight. If you could hang up and give us a call right back, we'll just stall until it happens.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Hey, Diane, how are you?
I'm good.
Wonderful.
It's so funny because I can hear you and you come across and I'm like responding. And it
yeah.
isn't until you say, oh, nope, she's not there.
Well, see, the thing that's strange is we thought it was an update. So we update Skype. So we have both versions on the computer, but one version won't actually take the calls. But that's
oh,
the
wow.
updated version. So we're kind of caught in this hell, a.k.a. Windows, that we're trying to figure out how to make it work. So, appreciate you bearing with us.
Oh, no, not at all.
So, how was your...
appreciate y'all.
Well, how was your Thanksgiving? I know you and I talked a little bit, but I wanted to ask you, you know, I know there's a lot going on.
It's, yeah. Shortly after last Friday, it was just strange, probably maybe 5 or 10 minutes after I read my poem, my brother came in the room, and my brother-in-law did pass. So we've had kind of a plan in place. I have two brothers that live here in Florida. I have another brother and three sisters who live in Virginia. So we had kind of a plan in place. I thought we would probably be there for Thanksgiving. But my brother-in-law was pretty prominent, in his community, and everything has actually been set for next weekend. But now there's some other things going on. So it's just kind of like one of these rollicking family dramas that takes place in a large family, especially with all of us living so far apart. So I'm just kind of standing by and waiting to hear what's going on. But it was actually kind of magical the way it all happened. I think I'd said that I was worried that he was just waiting for the baby, the grandbaby, and sure enough,
really?
He got a chance to hold her. And, you know, we all have to face death, but I think – and I wouldn't wish it on anywhere, but I just have to say it was probably one of the most beautiful. I'm not even going to go there. It doesn't matter. But there's always things to be thankful for. So.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to be thankful for World Poetry Open Mic and or Open Mic.
Open Mic.
Or Mic. It's all good.
Well, you know, I do have a decent amount of Irish in me, Diane.
Well, there you go. Okay, just the Blarney Stone, and we're off and running.
Hey, that's my family's old castle, actually. So,
well, there yeah. you go. Besides being a Forbes, my grandmother was an O'Brien.
Oh, so, really?
There you go.
All right,
the Blarney Stone in a. I was going to say a shillelagh, but a shillelagh is Irish too, isn't it?
I think as all Irish people know, or people who spend any time in Ireland, do not kiss the Blarney Stone. Don't
well,
do it. Don't do it. Or I'm don't kiss anybody who's just kissed the Blarney Stone.
You'll get that poetry anemia.
Yes. Uh-huh. You get a lot more than a mouth that won't stop.
Oh, boy. Okay, now we're rollicking.
All right.
Sinister kind of has that effect. Have you noticed
that? He does. He does, doesn't he?
We're rollicking after Sinister. Okay. So I just have – I was actually looking through some of the garden ones that I had. There's people – I always want to get their permission before I read any of their poetry. So I've just got one of my old ones, if that's okay.
No problem.
Okay. This is a really, really old one, and it is called A Cobwebbed Mind. A cobwebbed mind moves through hazy days from blonde to gray. Forgive me, I'm losing my voice now, too. Let me start again. A cobwebbed mind. A cobwebbed mind moves through hazy days from blonde to gray through misty clouds of thoughts, moving restlessly in pulses and small waves of understanding, squinting across the smoke and fog of living day to day. Lightning strikes, tempest slams, shattering through the fog. Dropping anchor, a gravitational pull momentarily peels back the mist, unzipping the mind, laying wide the senses. For just a fraction of a second, a small infinitesimal fraction of a second, you comprehend and see and feel the music, the dance of creation, where atoms smash and galaxies collide, and the hands of God set the pots and pans of creation, clanging and banging in a cacophony of life, a miracle of birth reborn. Later, when the fog settles back and the mind has misted into hazy clouds again, remember one clear drop of music playing, revolving, and pray it will be enough to last a lifetime. The end.
Very, 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 it's a lovely piece, I think.
Well, thank you.
And a good read as well. And Diane, we appreciate you so much for everything you do for us and all of that, you know.
Well, I mean, it's nothing compared to what you guys do. And, you know, you're growing.
You guys are here with us. You guys are here with us every week. And, you know, we do have some things we're growing with. I mean, you know a secret that no one else knows.
I know.
And don't anybody bother her about finding out the secret.
I know. I won't even type it in the chat room either.
All right. Don't do it. See? See, JT's mad at me right now because I just said there was a secret. But you don't understand, man. They know that there's a secret, but they know that there's only one other person who knows it. And she's not going to say anything. So now, okay. This is marketing, my friend. This is how marketing works.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why I fail at it.
Well, I don't know if you feel.
If you have a chance, check out Cards Against Humanity and take a look at their marketing.
Oh, I love Cards Against Humanity. Aren't they buying part of the?
I got an email today from them, and I'm just like rolling on the floor.
Oh, they're ridiculous. Yeah, they're.
I know. You'll love it.
They're actually a lot of fun.
I know. That said, there was something I did want to mention real quick.
Yes.
And I forget what it was, so it was probably really important.
Oh no.
Marketing too.
Oh no.
All right.
All right. Well, if you hopefully you get to call back during the next segment, or if you need something said, send it to me, okay?
Okay. All right. God bless you guys and happy Thanksgiving. You all make it for us all.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you, and you know, we're all thinking about you and love you, Diane.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
God bless you.
Bye. And that was Diane Collin from Florida sharing some great stuff. You know, she's had one hell of a week, and yet she's still laughing, and she's still just such a pleasure to talk to.
Yes.
And you know what? By the way, I think that happens with a lot of our poets, and more than we know, there's people who just go through so much stuff, and then they're here every week, and they're able to share. And, you know, we have some remarkable, remarkable people that call in. Okay, so speaking of somebody who we love, who calls in a lot, didn't call in last week, and he actually sent this to me through Messenger, and this just reminds me that I'm going to make a point, okay? Guys, I am many things. I am not super organized, okay? That's just not me. That's just not what it is. So
true.
It's true. So here's the thing. Because we get poetry sent to us from all different angles. I mean, I literally will wake up and have 7 messages from poets I don't know sending me poetry on my like Facebook Messenger. I'm going to forget about it. So I always tell them the same thing, and I'm just going to reiterate it. If you want something read, please send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or use one of the contact forms on the site. It all goes to the same place. Don't send it to my personal email address. Don't send it to the Facebook message page, you know, or the messenger on our Facebook page. Don't send it to me or JT. Just send it there. It's all there, and we'll get it, and it'll be easy to remember. We have that. It's there to organize. All right, so this one was one he sent me through Messenger, which is why I forgot to say it last week. But he's not on again, and I did feel bad about it. So I want to read this from Jim Rothline. This is short. It's called "The Moment You Beat Your Head Against a Brick Wall to Knock Yourself Out." After 5 years of his every advance rebuked, holding your hand, caressing your cheek, he stopped, seeing the futility of beating a dead horse, and she rebuked him again for not trying anymore. And that was "The Moment You Beat Your Head Against a Brick Wall to Knock Yourself Out." And you know what? I have seen that happen to people, haven't you?
I'm muted. Yeah, that's all yes, right. Yes, I have.
You're just doing your best mime impersonation.
That's right.
I understand.
It was all really right. Good, too.
That was totally a pretty solid one. It was really solid. All right, guys. So we're going to get ready to head into the return engagement now. That means anybody who wants to call back in, you can call back in. Anybody who wants to call in for a first time, you can call in again. Or you can call in for the first time, not again by time.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, I'm just trying not to violate the prime directive. Give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
JT, we can break the rules sometimes. Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
By the power of... I don't even know what I was going to say. I just started saying it.
By the power of Grayskull?
You know...
But you were almost
I was
in
saying
that Skeletor.
The Skeletor voice. That's why it doesn't make sense. By the power of Grayskull.
I'm so glad we have these things recorded, because that little sound bit is going to look great as a button.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Just save it there. That's how JT plays different sounds. For instance, like this
Ta-ya!
One. Yeah, that's a good one. Do you have another one over there that's really... Let's see.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. The return engagement.
See,
that's a good
engagement.
One. Engagement. Yeah, so that's one that we recorded as well a while back. It's kind of nice. So he has a whole slew of these things, and he uses only his toes on the board, which is interesting.
Yeah,
I'm not exactly sure what that's about.
Kind of maneuverable that way.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, everybody, let's gird up our loins. Let's grab your Vorpal sword. It's time for the return engagement. Let's go to our first caller, which also, strangely, was our first caller of the show. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Dennis, are you there, sir?
Well, yes, I am.
This is
return engagement, and I have returned.
Oh, have you not? Have you indeed? Yes.
All right. Yes.
It's been a great show so far.
It's been a great blend of voices and themes, and every time we hear something new, we hear something exciting, we hear something worthwhile, and that's what Friday Nights is all about.
Yep, yeah. Agreed. So what do you have for us this time?
Well, I'm going to make amends by not reading any Bono last week by reading another Bono poem.
Right. Okay.
So this time I'm going to read a poem. The title is Please. So you never knew love until you crossed the line of grace. And you never felt wanted till you had someone slap your face. So you never felt alive until you almost wasted away. You had to win. You couldn't just pass. The smartest ass at the top of the class. Your flying colors, your family tree. And all your lessons in history. Please, 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 get up off your knees. Please, 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 please. So you never knew how low you'd stoop to make that call, and you never knew what was on the ground until they made you crawl. So you never knew that the heaven you keep, you stole. your Catholic blues, your convent shoes, your stick-on tattoos. Now they're making the news. Your holy war, your northern star, your sermon on the mount from the boot of your car. Please, please, please get up off your knees. Please, please leave me out of this mess. So love is hard and love is tough, but love is not what you're thinking of. September, streets capsizing, spilling over down the drain. Shards of glass, splinters like rain, but you could only feel your own pain. October, talk about getting nowhere. November, December, remember, are we just starting again? Please, please, please get up off your knees. Please, 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 please. So love is big. It's bigger than us. But love is not what you're thinking of. It's what lovers deal. And it's what lovers steal. You know, I found it hard to receive. 'Cause you, my love, I could never believe. End of poem.
Man, so Dennis, that piece right there, I was mentioned to JT in 1997 in the middle of this big pop, you know, MTV Music Awards thing. The band came out, first time they'd ever played on an award stage, and they performed that song, which is a really dark, intense piece, and it just dropped, just changed the energy in the room entirely. And then left.
I can imagine.
And really a powerful, powerful thing. And, you know, that was them talking about Northern Ireland and a bomb that had gone off, I guess, in Dublin that would have, Bono would have been in the shop where it went off. I guess he was there every afternoon or every, you know, but that one day he'd missed the bus or something. And that's why he wasn't there. So it's just really, really intense stuff and a great read, great choice. And I'm surprised I know that much about that song, but there you go.
Well done. Well done.
Well done to you, sir. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for letting me share that. Once again, we want to give you the thanks you are so worthy of for providing this platform, for allowing us to assemble, and for all the hard work you put into it. We give you our thanks. And it's a wonderful thing and a great credit to you and JT. And I also want to say we want Christine to come back every once in a while, so make sure to tell her that too.
We will tell her. We'll tell her. Well, actually, JT, I'll make sure you tell her.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I definitely will.
Tell her she's missed. And I'll step aside to the next reader, and I'll say God bless.
Hey, God bless.
Thank you, Dennis.
And that was Dennis calling from Michigan. Laying it down for a second time this evening at the beginning of the return engagement. All right, now we're going to...
This was a dumb idea. Sorry.
What was?
The thing I put on my mic cord. It was in my way.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't quite sure what that thought was. All right.
Sorry.
You got to try things, you know. Yeah. All right. Let's head to the UK. Let's talk to Titus. Hey, Titus. How are you, sir?
Yes, fine, thank you.
All right.
Very, very full of life still.
Good. That's good to hear. But while you still have some life, I'll give you the floor and we'll talk afterwards, okay?
Well, I just want to say that for the garden group that I'm in, I'm writing a piece, hopefully for Christmas, called The Elves in the Advent of Labour, for their for the people who take Christmas for granted. But what they don't know is the fact that I'm also taking chunks out of it. This was for St. Stephen, but the kind of like the dark side of the story is that I'm taking pieces out, which now is a piece called To Honour St. Christopher, dedicated to the poor children leading up to Christmas time, called To Honour St. Christopher. Demand at this time of the year includes wrapping the parcels, you hear? And while you're at it, do not delude yourselves now. Make busy for little children like elves, Don't forget thankless tasks are not gloomy times. Even their parents smile, so lighten your moods. Let the children sleep that they may continue to allot as many sacks as you can muster. Duly, what I forgot next, return the old for new replacements I had sent. Gifted to the needs of every child, we'll see an advent duty-bound. We'll lift a flap, lift it up, the calendar lid opening to a scene from long ago. Every day content, niches do include a scene like this and for every kid. But the helpers are meticulous and articulate and are ridiculously sunny most times regarding the needy, priority over all others thus. So far and wide there, ubiquitous wait this time of the year, happiness of course, and yet the affidavit oath remains about one's needs is everyone needs someone sincere. Let the love of an affection bind these gifts with cheer. Intently wrap the immaculate heart with all your love. Now with kindness unwrap your hopes for tomorrow. In good slight, if lesser snow to sift, to lift the sorrow. And that's complete.
I really enjoyed that. There was a lot of the rhyming scheme in that I found really
and that
really
that came from we've had a chuckle about the elves and their nasty capers, but I've taken bits out and made a more serious account for St. Christopher's benefit.
Yeah, that was very, very nice. Great work, Titus. Thank you.
Thank you. See you.
All right. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time.
Brilliant. Thanks. Right. Bye.
Bye. And that was Titus calling in from the UK with a really solid piece. That was, I could really feel the lyrical flow there. It was nice. All right, let's head back to Michigan to Lansing to Chris. Hello, Chris. Hey, here man. We are again. How's it going?
Oh, how in the heck can you follow on Titus?
I know. It's kind of. I know. I got to be honest, you know. I'm kind of happy I don't have to do that every week. I'm happy I don't have to follow everybody on this show, to be honest with you.
I won't go there. Nope, that's setting you up for a line. I won't go.
Yeah, there's a lot of lines there, and one of them also being the idea of, it's like the guy following the circus parade, sweeping up the elephant, dropping, saying, I don't want to leave show business.
I actually got a new catalog, and they had a flea circus in it.
Oh, really?
And it was only $3,200.
It's a steal.
I didn't go there either. God.
All right.
you guys make it hard sometimes to come up with something that fits.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, so this is in answer to that, you making it hard to come up with something that fits.
Okay.
Just a taste. I've sat by empty playgrounds, time haunted with nows. Watched the shadows move and flow. Listened to the silence. Breathing the now forgotten echoes of what laughter was meant to be. I've reached for hands no longer there, no longer here. Stared to the sound of beating wings falling. Fallen ghosts. Paused while my footprints near turned to stone. Heart bleats, slowing, slowing, gone. The swing seats now cut and scarred, empty. Swaying to the breath of a god whose face I once touched, now lost within a world of questions. I await the snow, the dark, the night, the light, the next breath, the last smile. I've been a whisper in a light's long dream, a taste of could be. Yeah. Anyway.
I enjoyed the hell out of that one. That was very, very cool.
Well, like I said, you guys make it tough to come up with something to follow a man like Titus and to follow Dennis and to come before Barb and Cynthia and Diane and all the rest that come up here. Sin, Philip. It gets tough.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourselves to death patting each other on the back now.
All right. Yeah, good point. Good point, actually.
I'll catch you later, guys. Be safe.
Hey, all right. You too, Chris. Thanks. Jinx. Jinx again. Twice. JT, are we turning into each other?
Pretty much.
All right. Okay, let's go to Vancouver, British Columbia, to visit with Cynthia. Hey, Cynthia, are you there?
I am.
All right, wonderful.
So I'm doing a U2 cover.
All right.
Of course. It was really hard to choose which one to do. I loved how Dennis read his. That was amazing.
Yeah, wasn't that cool?
So I decided to go with All I Want Is You.
All right.
This is All I Want Is You. You say you want diamonds on a ring of gold. You say you want your story to remain untold. But all the promises we make from the cradle to the grave, when all I want is you. You say you'll give me a highway with no one on it, a treasure just to look upon it, all the riches in the night. You say you'll give me eyes in a world of blindness, a river in a time of dryness, a harbor in the tempest. But all the promises we make from the cradle to the grave, when all I want is you. You say you want your love to work out right, to last with me through the night. You say you want diamonds on a ring of gold, your story to remain untold, your love not to grow cold. All the promises we break from the cradle to the grave, when all I want is you. All I want is you. End poem.
It's such a it's funny. That's such a simple song, but at the same time, it seems to just resonate so deeply, doesn't it?
It actually got me writing, like way back when I was 21, when Rattle and Hum came out.
Oh, really?
It got me writing about the relationship, because I think it's about his wife, I would imagine, and how, like, it's so humble to not want your story to be told and to keep it personal and private.
Yeah.
I think that's just so amazing. I love how his relationships are honest and pure. They seem that way.
Well, I mean, the thing that I've said before is that, you know, so he started dating his wife and joined U2 the same week when he was 16.
That's awesome.
That's a good week, you know. And the thing that's really been interesting is that both he and the drummer have had the same romantic partner since high school. And they all have the same, you know, childhood friends and everything. I think if U2 actually has a superpower, it seems to be in relationships, and being able to do that. And I think that shows some immense depth and immense understanding.
That's actually what attracts me to them.
Really?
Is that honesty? And you know, in one of their books, I think they said there were no superstars at their wedding. You know, it was just, you know, Bono and Ali's wedding was just them and their friends. And just to have that honesty in your life and make your life about integrity and honesty and not hiding your faults, just being able to be open about who you are and still protect that relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to be learned from that. You know, I mean, of course, we're saying this from a distance. We don't really know all the, you know, all the issues and things. I'm sure I know for a fact when he comes back from tour, she makes him check into a hotel for like 3 weeks first. But
amazing. Perfect. That's good relationship advice right there.
Probably, huh? So, but I mean, at the same time, I think there's a lot to be said for how we approach relationships and friendships over the long term. You know, and I think that's actually something I've learned, JT. I don't know if I've talked to you about this. Maybe I have. When we started doing this show, we said this is something we wanted to be doing for 20 years, 25 years,
yeah,
which is a long time, especially as we're where we are right now. But at the same time, I think we made different decisions because we thought of it that way.
Yes.
And yeah, so because we've thought of that situation in that way, and I think maybe thinking about approaching relationships in that way, knowing you're going to be friends with this person forever or for, you know, your entire life, you'll make different decisions. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. I feel like they kind of go after things that same way.
Exactly. I think that's the appeal.
Yeah. Anyway.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for giving me a chance to read.
Oh, of course. Thank you, as always, for reading. We really love it every single time. And that was Cynthia calling from British Columbia, Vancouver. Vancouver, British Columbia. Reverse that. There Sorry about that. All right. That was a lovely piece, too.
It was.
Yeah, some nice stuff. All right, let's go to Stan in Alabama. Let's see what he's got now. Hey, Stan, you there?
Of course he's here.
Of course. He's here, but he's not coming to the phone. Only Zool lives here now.
Yeah, I noticed he was in the refrigerator, too. It must have been around Thanksgiving.
Yep, yep.
Come to think of it, no. There's the turkey and the Lord of Darkness. I mean, they're right there.
Hey, like me, darkness. There you go.
You're saying Donald Trump is not in my refrigerator. Oh. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All right. So, Stan, what do you have for us?
Well, I'll tell you what I have for you. I'm going to do a cover of a story.
Okay.
And the reason I'm doing this cover is because this was a cover that actually inspired me to write.
Oh, really?
Okay.
I wrote, yes. I was in the middle of writing one. I had gotten a prompt from my friend Devin Carey, the guy that got me going on this, which means I'm going to blame him for everything, of course.
Perfect.
But as I started writing this story, and it was supposed to be this like really kind of eerie and ethereal thing, all of a sudden, this person telling this story popped into my head, and it took off in a completely different direction. And I'm going to do a cover of that story. And the story's title is The Mandarin. There once was a powerful Mandarin with many lands and many servants and wealth beyond measure. But he had but one desire now, a very certain woman, a very special woman, a woman 6'6" tall, weighing 120 pounds. He searched all through his lands and could find none. So he sent his emissaries across the world to try to locate this woman, this special woman. One of his emissaries happened upon a bordello in Texas. The madam was enthralled because this money he was offering for this woman was outrageous. So she tore through Texas, calling everyone, anyone, if they'd seen this woman, 6'6" tall and 120 pounds. So far, nothing. Then one day, her prayer was answered. So she got in her car, drove down this road, off the highway, onto a dirt road, to a back area. And in this little dump of nothing town, barefoot by a shed, she found her. 6'6" tall, 120 pounds. The madam quickly laid out her spiel of fame and fortune and adventure. And this poor girl, of course, living where she was more than willing to take the chance. So off she dragged her back to the bordello, and the ladies of the house busily cleaned her up, got her in a decent dress. The emissary walked in, saw her, nodded, paid the madam, and away she was on her way to China. As she arrived, she was taken down the roads and seen the people and all the beautiful architecture and the silks hanging from the windows, such splendor like she had never seen before. She entered the palace through two great doors and quickly was surrounded by servants, ushering her into a room where they stripped her, bathed her, cleaned her from head to foot in scented waters, dried her, prepared her hair, makeup, all, with a beautiful, beautiful golden gown with lovely inlay held on one shoulder by a beautiful jade brooch. As soon as the servants entered her into the main hall, they dispersed. Around the corner came the Mandarin, an ancient man carrying a cane. Old as time, with a magnificent gown, all embroidered with symbols and lettering of his heritage and bloodline. As he approached her, he arched his eyebrows. Walking toward her, he said, "Remove the dress." She was startled, stunned. "Whoa, what?" He repeated it. "Remove the dress." The girl stepped back and said, "No, I will not." And with an amazingly deft and quick move for such a man his age, his cane lashed out, caught the brooch, and the dress fell around her feet. There she stood, 6'6", 120 pounds, naked, doing the best she could to cover herself. Bones showing everywhere. The Mandarin's eyes arched, and he smiled, wrinkling his face even more. And taking his cane, he wandered to the wall and tapped a small gong. From around the same corner that he came from, entered a small little girl, could not have been more than 4, dressed in the same gown as the Mandarin. Same bloodline. The old man reached a gnarly hand out to the little girl and she took it. Then he and the little girl walked toward this poor woman, 6'6", 120 pounds, naked and afraid. And as he got closer, the Mandarin stopped, pointed his cane at her, looked at the little girl and said, "See? This is what Grandpa told you. This what happened when you don't drink your milk." End.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Wow. Stan. Damn it. I really enjoyed that.
Yep.
Beautifully done. Beautifully done. Yeah. Just all around. That's how it is.
Thank you. And I have to give all kudos and credits to a hell of a storyteller and a comedian, a gentleman by the name of Orson Bean.
Man. Really well done. And I mean, a solid, solid read. Really great write as well. Thank you for that, man. Thanks for just sharing that with us. That was really nice.
Well, I wanted to share that because I think on WPOM, I once read a story called Journey to Ask.
Mm-hmm.
And it started out, like I said, to be like a mystery, because it was just All the picture was that Devin gave me was a path through the most haunted woods in Europe. And that was solved. And as I was getting all this together, all this eerie stuff together, all of a sudden Orson's telling that tale entered my head, and away we went.
That's wonderful. Man. I think that's one of the poems that, you know, I tend to go back and listen to the old episodes. I think that's one of the ones I'm going to go back and listen to again. Thanks again, Stan.
Well, what I loved about what Orson did was he never got that defined in his description. He gave you enough of a description for you to have a vision, but you did the definition as to what you really saw and what it looked like. And that's what he'd do. He'd capture your imagination in the story and then whist.
That's something. Wow. That was just really powerful.
Well, thank you all.
Hey, thank you, Stan.
My pleasure.
All right. That was Stan calling from Alabama. You know, he brings stuff like that that is just and it's like I know it's coming, but I'm always kind of surprised when it happens.
Yeah.
You know, which I think it means it's done well.
Yeah.
Speaking of poetry done well, let's get ready to head over to Mama Oladeji. Oh, Mama, are you there? Okay, Mama, we're having that issue with Skype again. So if you can just hang up and give us a call back. By the way, everybody else who's listening right now who's on hold, this probably means we're going to have the issue with you too. So if you want, you can just hang up and we'll just tell you when to call in, okay? All right. So we're just waiting for Mama to give us a call back. Skype issues being what they are. Here she is. Mama, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Wonderful. We can hear you loud and clear this time. So sorry about that.
No problem. I'm going to read a poem, Waiting. I had tried to put the link to the chat room because I had another one that I wanted to read that was more, you know, good for this type of season. But I'm going to read Waiting because it's one of my most acclaimed poems. It has got the most, comments. And one of the comments is it's the best poem by any member of Poetry Soup. So I'm going to read that one to you. It's called Waiting. Seems as if I have waited in line or on hold on the phone where blatant disrespect is shown. No longer fast service to show courteous appreciation. Just wait, wait, wait without consideration. Take a number, life is what this is. Waiting for something or anything or nothing. Waiting for the other shoe to drop. Waiting to see, waiting to hear, no longer is waiting a pastime. Waiting is all the time. Take a number, do not have a seat, just wait. Stress high, I no longer know what I'm waiting for in this waiting game. When I get to the front of the line, the well has run dry. Or there's a sign on the desk saying out to lunch. My life is a take a number life. I have no reason to wait anymore. There's no weight left in me. The other shoe has fallen. The line is much too long. Time is up. The building closed. And now my time has come. I get on the line to talk with God. He asked me what I did while here. I waited, I exclaimed. I waited to be born. I waited in line to die. But most of all, I waited on Christmas every year. Hello? We are transferring your call. Hello? Someone will be with you shortly. All of our representatives are busy helping other customers. Your wait time should be approximately 20 minutes. Hello, God? Can you hear me? I waited. I was next. Hello? Buzz. In peace.
I really enjoyed that one. I thought that was great.
Thank you.
the move joke at the end, the cow reference was great because it happened somehow at the same time where Novia, the studio cat, jumped up behind JT and won't let him sit in his chair. So it happened at the exact same time. Even though it has nothing to do with each other, it felt like it felt normal. It felt natural at that point. So great piece, great read, as always, Mama.
Thank you.
That was great. Did you have a good Thanksgiving, by the way?
Did I have one? Yes, I did. There's this new game out that's on the internet that you can acclimate your phone and your laptop to, and you have to, like, buzz in. You take a pen name and you buzz in and you try to answer the questions like a trivia game. And it was wow. It was really funny. So we had a good time playing that after we ate. Yeah.
All right. Well, awesome. I'm glad you did.
Okay. Yeah. You might want to get your class to play it. It was really fun. You can make up your own trivia questions, actually.
Well, that's cool. What's it called? Do you remember?
I'm going to have to go back on my page on
Facebook.
And she has the name of it on there. That's my first time playing. But you just all the kids acclimate their cell phones to it. You set the laptop up, and then they put the PIN number in, and y'all take a nickname. And when you set up the questions, they have to buzz in, answer the questions. They don't holler it out. They just have to choose the question on the screen, and it shows you who's winning on the screen. So it's really cool. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Well. Wonderful. Then, if you know, just ping us. Put it in the chat room, or if it's longer, just if you can remember, send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Okay.
I'll go over there and get the name of it and put it in the chat room right now.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Mama.
Okay.
All right. We appreciate you and your work as well. More so. So thanks for calling us again.
You're welcome. Always.
All right. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Turned out one of her own this time instead of Lewis Carroll like she did last time. Now, Mary. Mary, if you are listening, give us a call. We're ready to take your call in live. Looking forward to seeing what she does this time. That was a really, really strong piece last time. Did she say what she was going to do? Did she say she was going to continue? I wonder.
No.
I'm in suspense now. Let's see.
Patiently waiting.
Patience.
Those numbers.
Patience, JT.
Dialing. There we go.
Hey, Mary, how you doing?
Oh, you guys are so sassy. You make me trouble myself.
That's okay. We're troubling ourselves as well the entire time.
Oh, troubled water. I do Simon and Gump. Uncle, but I'm going to do Dire Straits. Are we doing that?
All right. Trouble, double trouble, Dire Straits. Let's do this.
Yeah. It was written by a lovely man, an English man. I seem to like those rock bands from the 60s and 70s, 80s. I don't know why. Something about my Wisconsinite. Written by Mark Knopfler. I'm going to do my best little keyboard imitation on a kind of crappy keyboard. But Dire Straits and the song Walk of Light. Oh, come on, sing along with me if you can. Here comes Johnny singing all the goldie, be bop, a little girl, what up, what I say. Here comes Johnny singing, I got a woman down in the tunnels trying to make it pay. He got the action, he got the motion. Oh yeah, the poor discipline, dedication, devotion, turning all the night time into the day. He do the song about the sweet loving woman. He do a song about the night. Oh, he do the walk. He do the walk of life. Yeah, he do the walk of life. No. Here comes Johnny to tell you the story, and he's on my walking shoe. Here comes Johnny with the power and the glory that he's talking to. He got the action, he got the motion. Oh yeah, the more I can play,
devotion, and all the night time it's the same. Teach us a song about the sweet loving woman. Teach us a song about the night. Oh, ain't gonna work today. To the walk of life. Oh, to the walk of life. Come on. One more verse. He comes down singing all these goldies. Bebop, I'm the good one. What I say. He comes down singing, I got a woman. Down in the tunnels trying to make it pay. You got the action, you got the motion. No, yeah, the park can play. Dedication, devotion, turning all the nighttime into the day. And after all the violence and the dumbest talk, just a song about the trouble and the strife. Yeah, into the walk. Yeah, into the walk of life. Ooh, into the walk of life. Ooh, come on. You know it. Ooh, ooh, walk of life.
Good choice.
I can't do more than that tonight. I can't do more than that tonight.
You don't have to. That's enough. That's enough life-affirming stuff right there.
Was everyone dancing? That's all my only question.
You know, every single one of my toes had its own dance partner, and it wasn't anything to do with JT.
The toesies and the woesies. There we go.
Yeah, that's all you need, though. Once the toes have it, the rest of the body is kind of complicit. Yeah, it happens to happen.
We gotta go with the cellular level.
Yeah, you know. My kidney might be made up of all kinds of little kidneys, and they're all dancing.
I'm going to listen to the end. I'm going to listen to the end and stretch my toesies.
All right, let's do that. All right, Mary,
thank you for that.
We love you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. And that was Mary Collin from Arizona, the warm. Actually, you know, we're ridiculously warm right now.
Yes, we are.
Ridiculously warm. And, you know, people wonder what it is. And I don't want to be one of those people who just, you know, says it. Hey, Barbara. We cannot hear you if you can hear us. So if you could hang up and give us a shout right back, it's time for your segment. So we just, since JT jumped on that right there, which is fine. It forces it. It's good. Barbara from Connecticut is up next. So we're waiting for her to give us a call right back so we can have her actually share for the first time this evening. It's not a show without her. So it's awesome to know that she was calling. So at any rate, by the way, guys, we have this huge party. There she is. Hey, Barbara.
I'm on.
You are now.
Hey, I'm on for now. Yes, I'm on for now.
You are now. How are you?
I'm good. My daughter had to get a coat, so we had to go through the disastrous experience of going on Black Friday to Macy's.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine.
And I thought that I would read the poem I wrote about that, but then I thought, I don't know, maybe I'll save that. I don't know. You tell me, do you want me to read that one, or you want me to read the one that I wrote earlier in the week?
Which one do you feel, which one does your heart tell you to read, Barbara?
I'm just trying to get my my iPad on. It doesn't want to go on.
Oh, I trust me. I know how that is. I was sitting here waiting for something to load up.
Here it is. Okay. The other one is called I Reach For You.
Okay. Do the second one.
I'm going to do the second one. Yeah, the other one is Black Friday Thoughts. It's okay, but I think I Reach For You is more the kind of thing that you'd like to end the show with. Okay, I reach for you. Birds tweet back and forth to each other. My first walk outside since the day my knee became titanium. The air is soft and inviting, smelling of new growing plants, green pushing upward. I glimpse wildflowers, small white clusters, and the water is still here. The path extends farther now, since commerce and construction have invaded this wild space. But I prefer the older place, where benches sit along the pond created by the inlet, where we used to sit by the gazebo, and I watched the egret while you did your puzzle and rested your sickening body. But in those moments, there was peace and nature surrounding us in a blanket of sincerity as the sun shone on our faces, reminding us both of the life we still had. And I took your hand to help you up, knowing this gesture to be abhorrent to you, for you still believed in your invincibility. And so you ignored the offered hand and stood on your own, balancing on your unsteady feet like the egret stood on its spindly legs. Now on this same path, sitting on the same bench, I reach for you in my mind and find instead the sweet memories of those few golden afternoons. End poem.
The really tender piece and lovely imagery.
Thank you. Thank you. That was, that was the first walk I took since I was able to go out and walk. That was last year. That was last spring.
Yep.
So I don't think I ever read that to anybody sitting on my iPad.
I'm glad you read it to us. Thanks
and
for
that. Phone.
And your phone.
Thank you. And I have the Black Friday one. It's a very short poem if you want to hear it.
Well, how short is very short? I mean, is it?
Very short. It's like.
Like a Philip Tidal very short or like a Stan Haiku very short?
It's pretty short. It's a small title. It's a small poem.
All right. If it's under four lines.
No, it's not under four lines.
Ah, see. Okay. Well, you know,
do you have another person asking?
Yes, we
me?
Do. We do.
Okay. Well, then I won't read it to you. But I will get off the phone and let the last person come on. Is there another one after that?
But Barbara, we'll just
I'm getting off.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm getting off because I know you have another person and because it's late. So I'm getting off the phone, but guys,
just so everybody else knows,
there.
Yeah,
yes, I will be there next week.
Wonderful.
All right.
On the dot for you guys.
Thank you
for the anniversary.
All right.
Okay.
Bring your party hats.
All right. Yeah, and champagne. Are we doing the champagne?
Sure.
Let's do it.
I'll buy a split of champagne.
They sell squirts. Okay, that's perfect.
A squirt, right, a little tiny, 2 ounce bottle.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Have a great weekend, and hope you guys had a good holiday, too. All right, so I'm getting off the phone. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Barbara calling from Connecticut. It was a lovely piece. All right. So now we're going to the state. Succinct state.
Whoa.
Of Florida. Let's see. It's probably the same issue. Hey, Diane, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Oh! Yeah, see, that's.
How did that work?
That's a trip. We didn't think we were going to be able to hear you. See, now this is where we talk about you in the third person, Diane, now that we can actually hear you.
Diane was. Sorry. No. This is great.
This isn't Diane.
Oh. Who is that?
This is Raj calling from India.
Hey, we have had Raj call this show, and there's a suspicious lack of bird noises in the background.
That was bad. And I wanted to hear Barbara's poem.
I know everyone did. Here's the deal, Diane. We have to occasionally get militant about the rules, not because we're jerks, but because we see the slippery slope that it is. Trust me, we have people asking us to do two poems all the time. All the
so
time.
Do I. I do know what you're talking about.
I know you. With the garden, I'm sure you know. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff.
I do. I've had that happen before. Somebody will write two. I'll include two. And then the next time
suddenly there's eight people writing too.
Exactly.
Yeah, I do know. What
we do it as a experience that we only do one.
And your love of the people involved.
Exactly.
I'm sure.
Exactly. Same reason we take weeks off. Yeah.
I just want to say that Barbara, that was just really, really exquisite poem that you shared, and I'm glad that you shared it.
Absolutely.
So, and I wish I'd heard the second one, so she'll have to call me after the show.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Just have her call you.
Okay.
Hey, she can always do it on her show, Red River Radio, Tales from the Pages.
Well, yes, and she should.
Yeah.
She should have us all calling into her show. We'd never get off the phone. Okay. This is an older one, but it's a Christmas one. It's called Hot Tub Holiday.
Woohoo!
I know. 'Tis the season. Champagne bubbles, and we are sitting in a hot cauldron on the back stoop of a cold winter countryside, enveloped in heat. Sometimes the things that burn the brightest truly remain unforgettable, even long after they have passed. Was it 1 or 100 nights we had of unbridled passion where stars shone so close they appeared to burn our breath as we gasped wisps of enchanted constellations, where dancing on stars was as natural as skinny dipping in scent-soaked hot water buried up to our chins while the blizzards raged above us. Sometimes love lights a crimson lamp, and snow holds no complications but simply becomes the backdrop to the constellations of stars that we dance around. Like lightning bugs, we are attracted to heat, to the love and the scent of candles burning the aroma of pine, while romantic carols extol the season of Christmas and true love. The end. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Raj. Your understanding of Christmas is fantastic. No,
you're
Raj.
You're very welcome.
Raj, I actually called you Raj, seriously. Diane. Oh, my gosh.
Raj,
sorry about that.
Diane,
that was very nice. Thank you.
Sorry, guys. Okay.
No, you don't have to apologize. That's all us.
Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and I hope we'll all be there next week. And I think we're just going to, like, show up. You never know. We'll just show up at the station.
You know what? You could do that, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
You're paying, right?
I wish I could.
Oh, wow.
To JT, don't worry. I'm paying.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
All right.
All right, God bless you guys.
Bless you too,
Diane. You really, really, really do us all a wonderful service. And there have been weeks that I have not wanted to laugh, but I get on the show and I do.
Well, I'm glad we can do that. I'm glad you make us laugh as well and in the most positive way possible, Diane.
All right, I'm very glad. God bless you all. God bless
you too.
Us one and all.
God bless us, everyone.
Everyone.
Tiny Diane, thank you so much.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
And that was Diane channeling her inner Dickens from Florida. Well, it's been a lovely show this evening. Now, next week, next Friday, December 1st, is our 5th year anniversary. That means we've been on the air for 5 years. We're starting our 6th year.
Yes.
And we're you know, going to be having a great time. We have some special things planned. We will not be doing an After Dark.
No, we will save that for the following week.
Right. But we are having some, you know, we're having some different stuff happening this next week. It'll be kind of a fun show. We also have kind of a big announcement, and we'll also be announcing the release date of the World Poetry Open Mic 2017 anthology, which is pretty exciting. And just a lot of fun stuff. So you'll never know who's going to be calling. Hopefully we'll get some cool people to call. And, well, actually, everybody's cool who calls, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean.
Cool
some people who haven't called in a while. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So at any rate, from myself, from JT, from Ursa, the studio dog, from Novia, the studio cat, who is still pissed off I haven't petted her after all these years, we want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for everything you bring to the show and all of your work. Until next time, keep writing.